Okay, we're picking up three lines from the bottom of Peches Amud Beis with the new Mishnah, V'neder Amana. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ilo Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov. So now the Mishnah is going back to the idea that the husband has the koyach to be able to be mefer the nedarim of his wife. So the Pasuk says, V'neder Amana Grusha Yakum Aleh. The Pasuk says that a neder of a widow or someone who's divorced is literally able to be on her, meaning it remains. It's not something which is subject to afara. So the Mishnah now asks, Kesad, what is this case? Meaning, which case, if the husband, she's divorced from their husband, and she's no longer in the reshus of the father, obviously nobody's able to be made for the neder. So the Gemara says, no, this is what this pasuk is needed to teach me, the following case. Amra, hareini nazira la'acher shloshim yom. So if the woman says, a widow or divorced, she said, I'm going to be in Azira after 30 days. So the halacha is, afal bishenises b'soshal shemiyam. So now she marries, let's say she's remarrying now. She was a widow or she's divorced. She's remarrying within this 30 days of her tnai. The halacha is that the new husband is in a yachal lahafer. He's not able to remove such a neder. Because she made this neder when she was not married, not in a state of jisuin, it took effect after her marriage. That's the chiddush. That even though it taking effect during her marriage, still, since the time, the ikar point is when does she make the neder? And she made the neder before nisuin, and therefore he doesn't have the right to be able to do hafaras nedarim on this. And the Rambam, points out that even though Anach and I are talking about a widow or a divorcee, the same halacha would apply to a woman who wasn't married. If she wasn't married under the reshus of her baal, there would be the same halacha. So that was what we learned from the resha of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, turning on to Peites Amud Aleph, continues. The Mishnah says, Nadra v'hi b'reshus habal meferla, that if a woman made a neder while in her husband's reshus during the suin, he's allowed to remove it. And what's the chiddush? Ketzad, that even if Shamra Harini Nazir Lachir Shloshim, if she said she's going to be Nazir after 30 days, and her husband does Hafara, so then Alpha Pishinus Alman is Garsha Pazov Shloshim. Let's say the husband just he dies the next day, or he divorces her within those 30 days. So maybe you should say, the neder should take effect because the neder was really supposed to be chal after 30 days. Hareza mufar. Still, no, it's really going to be hafar. And the Ran points out that the chiddush of this Mishnah is that really, that we're pointing out that the ikar point, the decisive halacha is going to be, when does she make the neder? If she makes the neder when she's not married, so it doesn't matter the neder is going to be chal. It's not when the neder kicks in, but rather when she made the neder. Doesn't matter the neder is going to kick in when she's married, still, he can't be made for it. And the other way around, though, even Lakula, that's the Sefer, the Hemshech, the second point of this Mishnah, is that even Lakula, that if the husband is married to her, and he's made for the neder, even though the neder wasn't supposed to be chal till after they're no longer married, if they either divorced or he just drops dead, so the halacha is still that the neder is not chal because he did hafara at a time where he had the ability to. Dahainu, he was married at the time where he heard about it, and he was made for the neder. So it doesn't matter when the neder was actually going to be poel, when it was supposed to start. It matters what situation was she in when she made the neder. And now the Mishnah continues with another halacha. Nadra bo bayom. If a woman makes a neder on the very same day that she enters Nisuin, that's how we understood it earlier in the Gemara, the Ran points out, v'niskar shabo bayom, and she was divorced on that very day, echzira bo bayom, and her husband took her back on that same day, eno yachal lehafer. Here too, he cannot remove the neder. The way we mentioned it is that, right, is she's married through Nisuin, she made a neder, and then she was divorced and remained with the same person all the same day. So regardless of whether the second marriage was Nisuin or not, still he's not able to be made for the neder. If it reached Nisuin, the neder is not able to have a fara because the husband is not able to remove a neder prior to Nisuin. And if it's still in the Arisen stages, so then the reason it's the Hafar is invalid is that an Aris can revoke the neder of his wife only together with the father, with the Av. And in this case, her father is no longer has that koach because they went into Nisuin. If, however, neither if they had two marriages, we pointed out there earlier, on that very Mishnah, and the Ayin Aleph, I think it is, the Mishnah tells us over there that if neither of the two marriages went to Nisuin, the Dahinu, there was an Erison, and then another one with Erison, so then whoever is the current Arus, along with the father, would be able to be Mefer the Neder. So that's what we're learning, is that the Mishnah's main point is that even though the Neder was made under the husband's domain, it was under his Rishus, during the first Nisuin, the husband heard about the neder when she was also during the second marriage. That's still going to be an invalid hafara. So that's the halacha that we're trying to teach us over here. So The Mishnah says, this is what we're teaching us. Even she went into her own rishus, her own domain, even for one moment, the husband is not able to be to remove such a neder. Meaning that if a nesua is divorced for just one moment and then her husband takes her back with nesuin, he's not able to be made for the neder that he heard even right previously. And the second marriage is not yet gone by eris, and he not because he hasn't done it. Even if he does nesuin, it's still not going to be good. So that's what we learned. So the Gemara says that Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Almana grusha she'armafa, a widow or divorce, he says, Harina nazira lach she'enase. I want to be nazira when I get married. Venises, and then she marries. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Yefer. Rabbi Shmuel says that her husband actually does have the ability in that way. He understands that the time of the neder, that the time of the neder goes into effect is going to be the ikar point. Not like our mission. The Gemara is going to try to handle whether or not we can fear Rabbi Shmuel, but that's the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. And Rabbi Kiva says, lo yefer no. The ikar point is when do you actually make the neder? When do you make the neder? Visemana Yalili. So, that's a famous song, Yala Yalili. Right? So that's, Yalili over here is the mnemonic to remember it. That, as the Mefarish explains, that the lashon of Liyud from Liyud of the is Yafer, he's able to make it. Then it's gonna be followed by Lo Yefer. And then it's going to be, the second one is Lo Yefer and then Yefer. That's the machlokas. So Ishid Ish Amra, as we're gonna see the Hemshech. Ishid Ish Amra, Arein Nazir Lechesigari. So this is the same manifestation of the machlokas the other round. If you say a Nazira when I'm divorced, Vinizgar says she becomes divorced, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Lo Yefer, Rabbi Shmuel says that her husband is not able to be made for such an ad. There Rabbi Kiva Omer Yefer, that, again, this is the other way around. This is that basically what the Mishnah was already saying, Bein Kula and Chumra, we see just another mandamar over here. Rabbi Shmuel seems to argue with that. So where's this Amr Rabbi Shmuel? Arei Omer, the Pasuk says, V'neder amano grusha, the neder of a widow or divorcee, shall, right, yakum alea. So it's not able to have hafara. This teaches us that a husband has the koyach to do hafara only if it was during the widowhood or when she was divorced. Meaning that if a neder was made during the marriage but was not scheduled to take effect until after the marriage, then the husband is not able, according to Rabbi Shmuel, to do hafara. So that's where Rabbi Shmuel's understanding that it's basically the restriction kicking in is when the husband has to be over, bailus over it. And Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Rabbi Kiva savar reyu omer, the pasuk says, kol asher asra al nafsha, anything that she uttered upon herself is to remain upon her. So adshia isure neder b'shas almanus v'girishin. This teaches us that a husband has the koyach to do hafara only when, meaning even when, not only when, even when it was done during Amana Grusha, meaning only before they were married. But if they were married, it doesn't matter that the neder is going to take effect after their marriage. So that's Rabbi Kiva's understanding from the Asra. She's asking that's just making the neder. And that's all the Iker point is when you made the neder, that's when the neder is going to be able to do Hafara or not do Hafara. That's the Iker point, according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So now the Gemara points out, Lachora Amar Rav Chista Masnis Rabbi Kiva. Under the simple understanding, our Mishnah clearly is that of Rabbi Kiva, not Rabbi Shmuel, because it seems to be the very sort of the Mishnah which was saying that we go after Bein Lachumra Bein Lakula. We go after when you made the Neder. That's Mamish Shashita Rabbi Kiva. That's great. That seems to work out perfectly, Rabbi Kiva. And Lachora, and it's not the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says no. Abaye says Amar Afilo Tim Rabbi Shmuel. Maybe our Mishnah is even going to be able to fit with the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. That's a Chiddush because it doesn't seem to be like that. So how does that work? Because Masnisin Talia Nafsha Biyome. Our Mishnah refers to a case which she made the neder chal on amount of days. She made a tnai that the neder is going to take effect in a certain number of days. Let's say she said 30 days. That's what our Mishnah was clear. So Breisa Talia Nafsha Benisuin. Whereas the Breisa refers to a case where she made herself dependent on the actual marriage. That the tnai of her neder was that it's going to be based on whether or not she is going to be married or not. So even the Rabbi Shmuel understands that we do generally follow the neder takes effect. So he's understanding that's only in a case that, of a neder scheduled to take effect in the beginning of the marriage. Meaning, I'm going to be in a nazira lechesh'enase. Or when it's a lechesh'enase. In that case, where the marital status is taloi based on the neder, Rabbi Shmuel understands that the status is going to create the neder is going to be chalos. Since the woman herself clearly indicated that is what she wants it to be chal on. But in the case of our Mishnah, where the neder was basically supposed to take effect in a certain number of days, regardless of what the status of with her husband, she doesn't know she's getting divorced right now, or she might not get divorced. She doesn't say Liz Garish. She doesn't make that part of the Tanai. So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel would maybe agree that we would go after the time of the neder. Because what was the ikar point of her neder? Basically, Rabbi Shmuel saying, what is the ikar point of her neder? If a woman just says, I want to be a nazira in 30 days, so then the ikar point of her neder is that she should be a neder. She should be a an Azira after 30 days. She didn't matter whether or not she got divorced, and it wasn't Tolei on her neder whatsoever. As opposed to, she says, when I get divorced, I want the neder to be Chal. So then it's clear that she only wants the neder to kick in once she's getting divorced. And that the husband doesn't have reshus over. So it's very, very simple. It's very good to make this chiluk, and you actually very much could be in line with our Mishnah, the Shita of Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says, Shalmu Yomei Velo Niskarsha. So in the Mishnah's second case, where a married woman was wanted to be chal after 30 days. So it's possible days to be klopita without her being divorced. Shalmiyome below mitzvah, or a similar thing, it's also possible for her 30 days, and she wasn't married yet. So in these two cases, again, Abai is just fleshing out that these two things are not the ikar point of her neder. Her neder is at whatever status she's in, she wants the neder to be chal, and Rabbi Yishmael could agree very much with our Mishnah. Very nice pshat that the Ran gives to explain how Rabbi Shmuel Abaye gives to explain how it could fit into the Mishnah. So now we're wondering, we say Zaklaus. Zaklaus is always coming l'rabot something. It always comes to include. So we had Zaklaus d'ktane gabi nar marasa in Parak nar marasa. We mentioned over there, the Mefarish quotes that Mishnah. And Daf Ayin Aleph, we say nar marasa, we say Zaklaus kol shel yatzah l'rishus atzma sha'achas. So we learned that was coming to include the case of an av to shluchei abal. So that was the case, as the Mishnah says. Latuya alachav im shluchei abal. That comes to a place where the father accompanied the shluchim of the husband. We know that when the chassan, he sends the shluchim to come for the kala. So that is signifying that she's coming into his rishus. So if the father of the kala comes the whole way with the shluchim, then they're not formally considered to go through the status of nisuin. That's what we say over there. Or similarly, if the shluchim of the father, not just the father himself, he appointed shluchim to go with the husband or the husband's shluchim. In that case, basically the same as the other one, and he's having the shluchim do it. So then the halacha over there is benar marasa. In the case where that she was a marasa, davia bala mefinere, that for purposes of nedarim at least. We assume that doesn't go into the status of nisuin. As I mentioned many times throughout this masechta, but it's good to chazer it, that there's a fundamental difference between erisin and nisuin, and that is that when the husband has the ability to be made for the nedarim only in conjunction with the father when they're in the status of erisin. If she's a nara. She's a nara in the status of erisin, then they have to do it together. Once she goes through nisuin though, and she's a nara, it's going to be important for the next Mishnah, then the halacha is that you no longer, that you need the father, and it's kol kolo in the rishus of the husband. So the chiddush over here is that it's still in the rishus of the father because she never really left yet. So the Gemara points out, Zeh klal diktane gabi elu nedarim. So this halacha, which is said by our Mishnah, in elu nedarim, latuye masar av l'shluchei abal. This is coming to include the case where the father gives her to the shluchim, the messengers of the husband. Oshem masar shluchei av l'shluchei abal. Our Mishnah is teaching us that once that has happened, the husband is not able to be made for the nedarim that she made beforehand. She'en abal mefer bekodmin. The husband is not able to be made for the previous nedarim. Because once the father or the shluchim deliver her husband, the shluchim, the father, loses her shus over because the transfer is viewed as a form of nisuim for this purpose. And at that point, the husband has basically the full control to be able to be made for the nedarim. However, you're not able to be made for the nedarim that were previous, so that way it was a previous status. It was when erisin, you're no longer able to be made for those nedarim anymore. That's how we understand this. So we see that this is a form of nisuim. So the big shayla in the Rishonim is this only for nedarim, but all purposes of nisuim. As I mentioned, there's many different nafkaminas between erin and nisuim. Like the husband, inheritance and being chiyuv of supporting her, all those halachas, and there's nafkaminas and levels of deraisa, what type of chiyuv misa she gets. So that's the shaila. Was this a specific halacha with regards to nedarim or not? And another point that we've mentioned a few times over, but it's good to chazer, is what is nisuin? It's a fascinating thing. And Maseches Kiddushin is very clear. We delineate how a woman could get married. That's very clear that how the husband is creates an erisin. He does one of those three things. Okay, so that's very clear. What is nisuin? So this seems to be one of the rayas, or what, at least one of nisuin, to be most of her into the rishus, is clearly one of the major aspects of nisuin. But it's a shayla. It's not really clear in the Gemara what exactly is nisuin. So the Rambam understood that it's yichud aroy labia, that it has to be dafka when they have to have yichud. That's why we do the yichud room immediately after the nisuin. That's our machmir to go straight into the yichud room right after the chuppah. You're not supposed to dilly dally there. Rav Shach was machmir about that. He quotes the Magen Avraham. You should go straight because you made the brachas on the nisuin. So bringing her under the canopy is another shita. We do that also. We do really all the shitas. And we also do the putting the veil over her face is also a form of Nisun. That's a big question. Why we do it before? Nisun is always done after Erisin, but that we do all three of those. So, but the Ikra, or not an Ikra, but the Rambam, whose Shita is Yichar Rai Labia, so then we assume that you should be doing that right away, right after you do the Erisin, because Samach Labracha of the Nisun, you want to go right into the actual Yichud room. So Rosh Hashanah likes to say that he said this over in Shir, and one of his Talmidim took it a little too seriously. That immediately after the chuppah, they broke the glass, and he like literally ran off with it. He didn't get a chance to the guys to dance them to the yichurim. He said, "I don't have to go that quickly." But Rosh Hashanah always laughs when he says it over. But that's the idea over here of what is Erisin, what is Nisun. We do them, by the way, why I mention that, because we do Erisin, and we mentioned this a lot of times over again, we do Erisin and Nisun at a wedding. We do both of them. We do them together. In the times, up until even times of like Rabbeinu Tam, they were doing, maybe in earlier Rishonim, they were doing the Erisin with a break and then Nisun. It was getting complicated. The husbands were getting lost. They couldn't find them, and things were getting complicated, so they did backing out. So they established at the Takana that we should do Erisin and Nisun at the same time. So that's the whole idea of the minhag of reading the Ksuba, by the way. The whole idea of reading the Ksuba is that we want to have a break between the Erisin and the Nisun. And Shecht always points out that if you're going to have the rabbi speak under the chuppah, people don't do this, but this is the best time. Because the whole idea is that we're supposed to, what was the idea of reading the Ksuba? Is to have a break between the Erisin and the Nisun. So great, so make it a longer break. Have the rabbi give his drusha then between the Erisin and the Nisun. That's what I did in my chassid. Someone spoke, so they had, we spoke, they spoke dafka after that point. So that was under the chuppah, and that's why we have a break between the Erisin and the Nisun. And so that's that was very good. That's the idea of Nisuin. That's the Shaila. Is our the Shluchim only a din of Nedarim, or is it all, can we define that as being one of the Gedarim for what could be Nisuin? That's a Machlokas Rishonim. So next Mishnah is telling us when other times when the woman is able to make her own Nedarim. Teisha Naros Nedrein Kayamin. There are 9 Naros whose Nedars are going to be Chal. So as the Gemara is going to point out that really these 3 are really just 3. And then the Ran points out, why do we say 9? Because the Rabbi Yehuda wanted to sharpen the Talmidim, giving him each and every case, but really they could be really broken down to 3 basically major cases, and then they're subcategories, but really it's just 3. But we say 9 just sort of after the milsa to try to include what these 9 would be. So also the term Naira over here, according to most Rishonim, seems to be Lav Dafka, because just as be anyone who's over Bas Mitzvah, not necessarily, because some cases it might even be a Bulgaris. So it's really just anybody who's over Bas Mitzvah, including Bulgaris and Naira, would be included. So their Neder are going to be Chal. You're not able to do hafara. So again, as the Gemara is going to point out, there are really just 3 main categories for this 9. Bogeres v'hi yesoma. Bogeres, who is an orphan. What is this orphan? It's not literally an orphan. It's a yesoma b'chaye ya'av, is the lesson of the Gemara, which we're going to see later, that a bogeres was literally an orphan in the time of her father. How do you have that? It just means that Bogeres b'chayav, it means that a girl who goes through Nisuin, but she could still be a Naira. So if she's still a Naira and she gets divorced, so once she goes through Nisuin, the father loses control forever, even though she's still a Naira. She's still under 12 and a half. So she got married at 12, and then a month later things weren't working out, the husband was crazy, she got divorced. So then, really, if she was 12 and 1 month, the lacha would have been, if she never got married, she goes back to her, she should be in the reshus of the father. But since she went through Nisuin, that's called Yesoma b'chaye ha'av. That's whenever the Gemara refers to Yesoma chayav, that's referring to over here. So Shechter, I remember he always, now they have a shir assistant who grades all the bechinas, but when he used to, in the earlier years, the first few years of his shir, he used to grade the bechinas himself. So he asked this question, what is a yesoma b'chayav? So the boy didn't know the answer, so he just said, a girl, whose mother dies. So she's a Yesoma, and the husband her father is still alive, but she's still called the Yesoma, because it doesn't have to be from both parents to be called the Yesoma. And Rosh Hashanah always laughs when he says that over, because now he's intending, what does the Gemara define as Yesoma Chayav, which is this case, that you get married, and you get divorced, during when she's a Naira still, and you get divorced, or the husband dies. In that case, she's considered a Yesoma B'chayav, because the father doesn't have Rishus over his daughter. Nairo Bagra V'Yesoma. Number 2 would be a Nairo becomes a Bagaris. She also would become second case is talking about also in a similar thing about a Yesoma B'chayav. She made a neder when she was a Naira, but now she became a Bagaris. That's also, so the father no longer has the ability to be made for that neder. Turning on to the next Talmud. Naira shelo bagra. So now the third case would be a Naira has not become a bagaris. She is a Naira b'chayav. That's the whole set. Basically, we could define these three of a Naira b'chayav, a Yesoma b'chayav. Now the second case is going to be based on Bogeres. Bogeres Omei Savia. Bogeres, whose father had died. Naira Bogeres Omei Savia. Naira, who became a Bogeres, whose father had died. Naira Shalabagra Omei Savia. Or Naira, who has not become a Bogeres, and whose father had died. These three cases basically are actually talking about a Yesoma, a girl whose father had died. In the cases of 4, 5, and 6, she made that was the first two, rather. In the case of 4, 5, and 6, she was just is going to be basically a acre point. She's a Bogeres. And then 7, 8, and 9, Nara Shemesavia, Mishamesavia Bagra. A Nara, whose father died, and after her father died, she becomes a Bogeres. Bogeres Vavia Kayam, a Bogeres, his father is alive. Nara Bogeres Vavia Kayam, and Nara, a Bogeres, who became her father, is alive. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af, Amasis Bito Ktana. He says, also, someone who marries off his daughter while she's a Ktana, Vinsalman is Garza. She gets divorced or widowed. Even though she's a Ktana now, she is still able to make her, she's no longer in the Rishus of the father. He's not able to be made for the Nedarim. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So it seems to be machlokes between the Rishonim. Is Rabbi Yehuda arguing on the Tanakhama or not? The Ran seems to understand there's no machlokes, but the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos seems to imply that there is a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to argue. Because the Tanakhama seem to only say the Tzlacha by a Naira. So what would be the din by a Ktana? Rabbi Kida says, no, it's the same din. I don't know, it's not so posh that the Tanakhama would agree with that. Rambam seems to understand that he would disagree, that a Ktana does go back to the Rishus of her father, because she's still a Ktana, she's still under the age of Bas Mitzvah. That would be the machlokas. Amar Rabbi Marav, Zodi Rabbi Yehuda. When it comes to the Shita Rabbi Yehuda, Aval Chachamim Omrim, Shalosh Naros Nidrein Kaiman. Again, there's no machlokas. Whether those three cases, nine cases, Rabbi Yehuda was just coming to Larav Chadamilsa to sharpen the Lamidim to say nine. But the Chachamim said it's shortened version. That is three. What are the three? Bogeres V'yasoma, a Bogeres, she's over the age of 12 and a half. That's just the Yesoma Dvarim. And all those cases that fit into those three categories fit into it. And Yesoma, whose father died, or Yesoma Chayav, he actually physically died. And then the third case is an orphan in her father's lifetime. You could just summarize those cases in those three cases. Everything is just a subcategory. And Rabbi Yehuda, again, was just Rav Chadamil. So there's no nafkamina between the two. There's no machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Everyone agrees to that. That there's no machlokas in this case of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Okay. Next Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, konim she'ininen ela abba le'avicha. That if a woman says to her husband, a konim, that I will not derive benefit from my father or from your father. So that's something which is difficult. So we saw before that based on Shmuel, that a neder answering even one person in the world is able to do afar, because it could cause idui nefesh. And even according to Yossi, he's more machmir, that in this case it's clearly going to affect the relationship. So then it could be also beinu lebeinu, you would be able to make for it. Im osa ani lapicha, if I do anything for you, she'ani nenas lech, or she said I'm not going to derive any benefit from you. Im osa ani alpiava ve'alvicha, or if I do anything from benefit from my father or your father. Hareze yefer, the halacha is that the husband is able to make for such nedarim. That again, because in the Mishnah's first case, she should avoid fulfilling the condition. The condition is going to be the issue. What else tali on? Because that would going to be affecting the relationship. If she does fulfill the condition, she's going to have to ask her benefit from the father and the father, which is going to also again negatively affect the relationship. The second case is even a bigger chiddush. Even in that case, the t'nai, that if I don't do anything for my father or your father, doesn't involve ina nefesh nor bina labina necessarily, that even this sinner is able to do hafara, the reason is that because it's basically impossible to avoid, that later, sooner or later, the Ran understands that she's going to come to do a favor for her father or her father-in-law. So since the condition is unable to not be tachals, and then there's a problem, the neder is going to view it as something which has already taken effect, and you're able to be made for the neder. So it comes out, according to the Ran, there has to be two critical factors whether the husband can be made for a neder. One, it's going to be inu nefesh, or something that's bein ola bein ola, is not going to be good for the relationship. Or it's and two, rather, you need both, that it's going to be fulfilled. If either of them is going to be chal, the neder is able to be hafara immediately. But if you are lacking in both, the neder is not going to be able to do hafara. That's what the Ran understands is a critical point of the Mishnah. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, she'ani she'eni ne'enes la'aba v'lavicha im ani osa l'picha. A woman says to her husband, that way I will not derive benefit from my father or from your father if I do anything for you. Rabbi Nassan Omer lo yefer. According to Rabbi Nassan, it's impossible to be made for any conditional neder before it takes effect. Even the circumstances that we're mentioning is going to never be a chal. Chachamim Omrim yefer. Chachamim say that you're able to be made for such a neder because the condition is a problem. The condition is able to do afar on the condition also. Netula ani mina Yehudim im eshamtech. So another application of this, he says, I'm removed from all Jews, meaning I'm usher to you and the rest of the world from having relations. if I have relations with you. If I have relations with you, Rabbi Nassan Omer lo yefer, he's not able to be made for the neder. V'chachamim omrim yefer, they're able to revoke the neder. So why do we have two different cases? The Ran points out that each one is coming l'rabusa, is coming to teach you a chiddush. The first case is teaching you l'rabusa of the Rabbanan. That how far the Rabbanan go? The Rabbanan say that she'enin enes la'aba l'abicha imos l'fanecha l'abicha. That case over there, the Rabbanan understand that even if you say Hanaz Ploni, that's going to still be a talay on that. I would have thought maybe that's not even a reason to be able to be made for the neder. No, even there the Rabbanan say that you're able to be made for the neder. And the second case is tell you how far it goes for the shita of Rabbi Nassan. The Rabbi Nassan, even the case where Hanaz Tashmish is usher, and that's something immediately he can't have, meaning if she, the moment you have relations with her husband, it's going to trigger this neder. And even over there, Rabbi Nassan is going to be machmir to assume no, that also is not something you're able to do afara on based on this. On this idea of because it's tali on a tnai and the tnai is not able to be do hafara on it, that's why Rabbi Nassan goes that far. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up a hu gavra, because it's really starting a new point, and Be'ez Hashem will pick that up in tomorrow's daf.